7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy Anelli here with another amazing Croc podcast for the most amazing people on earth, our cancer survivor thrivers. Joining me is the best co-host in the universe, Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin. Angel, talk to me. What a week.
Dr. E, you know what's great about having today's episode?
Tell me.
It's because today actually is the beginning of the week. People always think it's Monday. No, Sunday begins the beginning of the week. So everything that happened last week is gone.
Gone. Poof.
That's it.
Disappeared.
So happy Sunday, my good friend.
Happy Sunday to you, my friend. And to remind our Croc Nation, we are finishing this module on singularity and plurality in your survivorship. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. Angel, I don't know about you, but when we finish a module, I always feel a sense of accomplishment. A lot of hard work goes into it, a lot of research, a lot of sweat and blood and tears. And hopefully at least one person out there will derive some satisfaction and some assistance from these podcasts. So just to recap for those of you who didn't see the first two or listen to the first two podcasts, you know, you're out there in your survivorship and you know, everyone is looking at you differently. Everyone is treating you differently. Everyone is avoiding you or not knowing what to say to you. And you're feeling very isolated and lonely. And what we tried to do is we tried to set up a scenario to have you not take that as a negative or not take that as something that's going to demean you, but something that aloneness, what we call that singularity, and try to turn it into a strength. And that was the premise of the first podcast. And then last week, we talked about the power of the survivor-to-survivor interaction. And we talked about a lot of the Croc juice that started this whole organization and podcast and how we got started by that observation of how amazing survivors can help survivors, even sometimes deeper than even loved ones, family members, partners, children, parents, etc. And today we're going to try to put it together and we're going to try to find how you can retain your singularity or your strength of yourself, even when you're in a large group of people, whether you're in a loud, crowded place, whether you're in your doctor's office. So today's episode to conclude the module will be Singularity in Plurality, the Nuclear Power of Survivorship, Part 3. Angel, your thoughts?
You know, I think it was a really good, I mean, we haven't finished it. We're just starting episode 3, but, you know, part 1, Singularity, it was awesome. You know, and Comrade in Arms, you know, that was great as well. And I think this is the culmination of which I like to call, we said before the year, the triple threat. I feel like we're there, you know, and it makes you feel good too, because now you can say we've gone full circle. So we're going to connect the final dot here to make a perfect, you know, perfect circle.
Exactly. And now, you know, I'm going to start the podcast with two visuals. So one of the visuals is, you know, again, a lot of times, even though this is absolutely a non-denominational podcast, a lot of times Angel and I will use Christian metaphors or stories or biblical stories, only because that's sort of what we know, but in no means do we want to exclude any other faith. But I think of when I think of singularity in, you know, a sea of chaos, I think of Jesus in the boat during the storm when all of the apostles are freaking out, even though obviously, at least in our belief system, the Son of God is in the boat. So like literally what's going to happen to you, right? And they're freaking out because they are still human and they still have fears and, you know, they're not actually sure, you know, if Jesus is the real deal or not. And, you know, they have their human doubts. And then all of a sudden, you know, he wakes up and say, "Why?" You know, in Patterson lingo, "What the hell, man? Why did you wake me up, dude?" And it's like, "Well, Jesus, check it out. We're like, our boat is going to sink and we're all going to drown." He goes, "Oh my God, ye of little faith." And he puts his hand on the water and then all of a sudden everything calms down. So that's sort of a metaphor for what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how you can be that that deity, that Christ, you can use your calmness, your inner strength, your singularity to be able to calm everything around you, even though you're in a great storm. And then the second thing is, you know, Angel, I did that Normandy tour maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I was thinking about the combat soldiers, the closeness of the combat soldiers. And for those guys, where there were, I think, more than 8,000 deaths that day, you know, on those Normandy beaches, how the people who survived, how they must have been able to do that, to be able to stay strong within their singularity while bullets were flying all around them and their buddies were having their heads blown apart and their innards being, you know, opened up and losing limbs and being blown up beyond recognition, you know, how they would have been able to manage that, how you can find how they found their singularity, you know, in that process. And if you think about it, you know, to our unbelievable and courageous survivor thrivers, think about the scenarios that you have to deal with that a lot of us don't have to deal with. I call them situational attitudes that are very specific to you guys. So you're in the doctor's office. So we go to the doctor's office when we absolutely have to. You're there all the time. Angel had to go to the ER because he bruised his ankle. That's another story that you can listen to on Have Faith, Let It Begin. But then you're in the waiting room and you're surrounded by sick people. And you might be waiting for results of your test and you're stressed and there's a long wait and the room is crowded. And, you know, you're freaking out because you're in this really stressful environment. And how do you attain, how do you go back to your inner strength, your inner singularity? How about you're even in a family event or a social event? Summer's coming up, ton of hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill and picnics and slip and slides and children in bikini, you know, little bathing suits and with their little swimmies on and the whole thing, you know, and everyone's coming up to you and you're getting ganged up on. Hey, you know, Angel, how are you doing? How's your treatment going? You still have cancer. What's going on? And you're going to feel, oh my God, my head is going to blow up. I mean, it's just too much. You feel ganged up on. And even though everybody is well-meaning and they care about you, you absolutely have to figure out a way again, how to go within yourself, how to stay strong within yourself. I don't know about you, Angel. Actually, I do know about you because I see you at work. We both share a crazy work environment where it's nonstop. I mean, the minute we're in our cockpit to the minute we leave, it's like, you know, five alarm fire after five alarm fire after five alarm fire. And it's just, how do you get through a day, you know, and we're going to be talking about that. And then just say you're in the Galleria. Our shopping mall is the Galleria. Your shopping mall might be the Woodbury Commons, it might be the Willowbrook Mall, it could be the Bergen Mall, it could be Palisades, it could be anywhere, you know, even adjacent to wherever you guys live out there. It's loud and it's crowded. You know, you can get nervous, have a panic attack. You know, how do you get through that? How do you go back within yourself? So, Angel, we don't just think of problems. We try to offer solutions. And there's just one answer to my solution. And I'm going to have you try to guess. And it's a bodily function. I'm going to give you a huge hint.
Just breathe.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. How did you know that?
You know, honestly, that's what I do. Honest to God, I answered. I didn't even guess. I answered the way what I actually do. That's what
I do. You know what? We're going to actually have it's so important. Breathing is so important. We're going to actually have a separate podcast just on breathing for our survivors. And we're going to actually get somebody who knows what the heck they're doing as it relates to mindfulness and breathing. But since we are going to finish this, this module on singularity and plurality, we are going to at least broach the subject of breathing as the answer of how to go back within yourself. So, Angel, I know I seem like a very dashing and calm and controlled, you know, individual, like during the biggest problems and people are hemorrhaging and hearts are stopping and people are turning blue. You know, you would think that I would be the picture, you know, of composure. But that is not the nature that God gave me. God did not give me that nature. I would have never been an emergency room doctor or a big surgeon. It's just not in me to do that. But I am just a nervous person. It's just who I am. Angel, you seem calm. I bet you have a little nervousness in you, but you know, I know many nervous people that are like me. Many of my patients have baseline anxiety. In addition to going through their cancer, they have to manage that. So believe it or not, even without cancer, I could relate to the situation of that stress, that really pressure-packed, crowded, loud, overwhelming space, you know, needing to run out of there as quickly as possible and how to figure it out. And you know how I actually figured it out, Angel? It must have been a part of me that might have had an intuition about this. But from when I was a kid, I loved being in the water. And just my grandparents, you know, my grandfather would throw me in the ocean and, you know, I was swimming before I was walking probably. They loved the water, loved the ocean. I was riding waves probably by the time I was 2 years old and swimming and being a lifesaver and all that kind of stuff. And I had an intuition that I would like scuba diving. And the first time I put a tank on and then put in the respirator and went underwater, it was completely quiet. And all you hear is that Darth Vader inhalation. And then when you exhale, all the bubbles just kind of come up. And it's the most relaxing, relaxing. It's the only time in my life that I'm relaxed. I should sleep underwater with a scuba tank because that's the only time I'm ever relaxed. And if you think about it, you're not only breathing for to live, you also have to control your buoyancy, because if you think about it, your lungs, as you expand your lungs, you become more buoyant and you begin to rise. And as you exhale, you become less buoyant and you start. And if you've done enough dives and you get really good at it, what ends up happening is you could literally, as your tank is getting lighter and you don't want to put too much weight on, right? Those lead things that keep you on the bottom, you don't want to be too weighted down. Your body is going to start wanting to rise and you need to kind of combat that. So the way you combat it is by taking less breaths in. You don't want your lungs to expand too much, and you want to exhale all the air out so you can kind of stay buoyant, and you can control your buoyancy just by your breathing. So in that sense, breathing intuitively always made sense to me in order to achieve that space, that place. But we're going to take it a step further, Angel. We're going to take a step backwards before we move forwards. So let's talk about the purpose of breathing. So before we bring it all together and help our survivor thrivers use breathing as a tool for them to stay singular during the craziness of life, tell me a couple of things that you know about breathing and why we breathe.
You know, for me, I would say breathing can control your blood pressure. As somebody who has hypertension, if I feel that my blood pressure is high, I will relax and take a deep breath and then release. And I feel that my blood pressure does drop, you know, as opposed to, you know, being too high. I think breathing also allows us the ability to slow down when mm-hmm. we are hyperventilating or having a panic attack. I'm known for that. I could have panic attacks when I was in college at age of 34. So I would find myself just trying to get myself under control in a relaxed state.
No, I think that's a really great, fantastic answer. And just getting back to basics, right? Breathing brings oxygen into our body, right? So we need that oxygen to nourish our cells and in order to live, right? Obviously we need oxygen to live. It also, did you ever hear the term pH, right? So, you see it in all these hair commercials, but we actually have a pH. We're 7.4. Our body, our blood, our intracellular matrix has to be at a pH of about 7.4. And believe it or not, the kidneys are one of the main organs that regulate our acid-base balance, but also breathing. Because when we bring in oxygen, that's the you know, that's the ingredient that we need. But the byproduct of the breakdown of that oxygen is carbon dioxide and water. So the carbon dioxide comes out, the oxygen comes in, and we're able to regulate our acid-base balance, our pH, partly with our breathing. It also gives us the ability to perform physically, right? To climb our mountains, to bicycle, to walk, just to, you know, just to get from place to place. You mentioned about inner peace, mood management. You talked about the cure of disease, insomnia, right? You can, if you can control your breath, you can control or reverse your insomnia. And you could also reduce pain by doing this. So for our survivors, breathing is, again, worthy of a podcast by itself. Right now, we're sort of going to pirate it, and we're going to sort of, we're going to take it and we're going to jug handle it backwards for our purposes for singularity, but we'll go back and get more in detail. The other thing I think is important for our survivor and thrivers to know, and not knowing in too much detail, is that there's a war going on in our body every day. And I'm not talking about the war against cancer. I'm talking about our nervous system. So if I told Angel to raise his right hand, raise your right hand. So I told him that, his ears heard it, then that went to his brain, and he told his brain told his right arm to rise. And he actually was right. He knew his right side. So he wins some IQ points for that.
Awesome.
However, if I told him, Angel, breathe, I don't have to tell him that, because he doesn't have to be reminded to breathe. His heart right now is pumping. I could see his chest rising up, and I could see that heart pumping. He doesn't have to tell his heart to pump. He probably had a Tostone or some Mofongo or some, he might have had he might have had a nice piece of pork for dinner with some kandoulis. And he doesn't have to tell his body to digest that food, because not only do we have the voluntary, you know, nervous system, we also have the involuntary nervous system. There is a point to this, everybody. Stay with me. The involuntary war that's going on within that nervous system is a war between the sympathetic and parasympathetic autonomic nervous system. You've heard of the expression fight or flight. That's the sympathetic system. That's called the accelerator. That's like putting your foot on the gas. That is associated with fear, anger, mistrust. It's bad. I mean, it's necessary, but it's bad for what we're talking about, staying calm, staying singular. The parasympathetic system, on the other hand, is your decelerator. It kind of tries to slow us down. It tries to basically keep us calm. It tries to fill us with gratitude, with joy, with trust. So these are a war that's going on. And what we want to do with our breathing, as Angel so beautifully said about his blood pressure and how to remain calm, is to try to reduce that fight or flight instinct, that fight or flight sympathetic nervous system, and try to have the parasympathetic nervous system dominate, calm us down, and keep us in our singularity. And basically, at the end of the day, it's all about, and Angel said it without me even having to cue him, slow it down. My experience with scuba, conserving air, of course, my buoyancy, of course, but it's about peacefulness. It's about just listening to yourself breathe, having breathing awareness. And when we do the podcast on breathing, we're going to have our expert tell us all the different types of breathing. There's belly breathing. There's rib breathing. There's resistance breathing. There's fast breathing. There's nose breathing. There's mouth breathing. And there's timing in the breathing. To quote a couple of people that I've spoken to or done some research for this week's podcast, it's universally accepted that breathing is the number one and most effective technique for reducing anger and anxiety quickly. When you're anxious or angry, you tend to take quick, shallow breaths. But this sends a message to our brain, causing a positive food feedback, reinforcing our fight or flight. Remember that sympathetic response. That's why taking long, deep, calming breaths disrupts that loop and keeps you calm, keeps you in your singularity. The various breathing techniques that we're just going to touch on today is we're going to talk about two, three-part breathing, where you're basically taking one deep breath in, a full exhalation, and paying attention to your body. But you could also do one to two breathing where you're breathing in, but you can exhale out longer. So you're prolonging the exhalation. That's going to, again, bring you back to your singularity. Angel, a quick end to this module, but I think we hit all three. How to achieve singularity, how to take advantage of plurality, and how to find your singularity in plurality.
I think the best way to put it is we can all have a sigh of relief in the sense of knowing that we now know the differences on how to breathe, how to stay relaxed, and more importantly, how to identify these three key ingredients on these three amazing small modules that literally will make you feel at peace.
Thank you, my friend. And let me ask you a question. How is Angel versus the lawnmower going?
I would like to upgrade to a ride-along lawnmower, but I will be buying probably thicker and nicer shoes. I've got it on video.
Yes. And I want to urge our Survivor Thrivers, if they want to have a laugh at the expense of Angel's pain, please check Have Faith, Let It Begin. Angel, thank you for everything.
All right, buddy.
Ray, my friend Rod Friedman, small biz up, Rod. Miss you. Looking forward to seeing you. Anybody out there looking for someone to help them with their website, help them, give them some advice on how to get a little side gig going or how to get a little business, their own little business going, he would be your guy. Angel, don't forget our friend John Benzea, Charlotte Larson. We said John, sorry about that. Mikey Benzea doing really well in his career in Hollywood, and he's very, very big fan of the Croc podcast, but not really a fan of us. He's a fan of you guys. He's a fan of cancer survivors. His mother was a survivor, Edie. That was a great episode he did with us talking about his mom and his mom's influence. I would have you guys go back and check that out. Board of directors getting together in about 2-3 weeks. Going to have a great dinner. Surprise location, new, different, and hopefully you guys will enjoy it. But more importantly, it's not about the food and it's not about the companionship. It's about how we can make this podcast better for you guys so you can derive the best experience and get the most out of this podcast. And this is the time where we talk about this podcast and how we are here for you because you are deserving of having people help you through your survivorship because you are very, very strong people. You have gone through so much. You've been told so much bad news and you've had to deal with people looking at you differently and treating you differently and having to survive in that big, confusing, complex world of survivorship and how you've been treated with your medications and your radiation and your surgeries and how that has changed your body and changed your self-image and all of the suffering and pain you've had gone through. That means that you guys are courageous and brave and you guys are strong and you guys are tough and you guys are worthwhile. And now you've come out the other end and you are survivors and you guys are there and you're here and you're going to be here for as long as it's possible. You will be on this earth enjoying your family and enjoying what makes you guys happy, enjoying your essence. You're brave, you're loved, you're supported, you are not alone, you are a fighter, and you got this. On behalf of Angel Santana, Rod Friedman, Mikey Benzea, and the board of directors, we wish you and end this podcast the same as we end each one with a prayer and a blessing to keep you guys safe and make sure that our good Lord and Creator gives you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God be with you. God bless you. Peace.